Welcome back to the Nonprofit Renaissance, where we help nonprofit leaders go further and grow faster. I'm Colin. I'm one of your co-hosts. And today we have a great episode for you, because in this episode, my co-host H goes down to Miami to have an enlightening conversation with Georgia Downey from Glory House of Miami. So Georgia's going to share the profound work that they're doing to combat sex trafficking, focusing on rescuing, restoring, and transforming the lives of affected women right here in Florida and beyond. And so get ready to be moved and inspired by these stories of hope and the vital efforts underway to abolish this modern form of slavery. So without further ado, let's go and let's grow.
Georgia, thanks for hanging out with us.
Thank you for having me. What an honor.
No, it's our blessing. And you've come so highly recommended in talking to our friends, our ministry friends and nonprofit friends. And that's what we love, because when there's that trust and reputation, so important in what we do, in the line of work we do, especially in who you're serving, who you're rescuing, who you're raising awareness and funds for. So we'll start there. I know our favorite co-host, Colin, already introduced us right now, but tell us a little bit about Glory House of Miami. Yeah. Give us a story, mission. How did everything start?
Yeah, thank you so much. So Glory House of Miami, we started in 2011. Our founding board member, Maria Vidia, she had an actual vision from God that she was supposed to start rescuing women who have, you know, survived sex trafficking. And she was supposed to call it Glory House, and God's glory would be revealed through it. And so, they started in 2011. They hired the person I'm taking over, Betty Laura, who just did for over 11 years a phenomenal job. And so what we do, what Glory House does, is we reach, rescue, and restore women who survivors of human trafficking, specifically sex trafficking. There's different labor trafficking and everything like that, but we focus on sex trafficking, and these are adult women. And we focus on it in one heart at a time is our motto.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
And you're in Florida and serving based out of Miami.
Yeah.
And my understanding, it's one of the highest in the world.
Yes.
The stats, I mean, it's scary. I was looking through the data on the site. Tell us a little bit more about the need in Florida.
Definitely. Well, I mean, globally, and I think, you know, no one can really get the exact numbers. They're just estimates, right? Because this is pure evil that's happening around the world. So, you know, $150 to $250 billion are being made regarding human trafficking.
Wow.
And that includes men, women, and children. In the United States, in Florida ranks third. And so South Miami is a huge, Miami in itself, sorry, is a huge hotspot because of, you know, we're an entertainment city. We have ports. We have all of these ways to traffic women. And one of the things that I think a lot of people don't know is that, you know, this isn't prostitution. This is by force, fraud, or coercion. So this is against a woman's will, and she is forced into this sexual exploitation.
And I appreciate you breaking that down, because there are some misconceptions.
Yeah.
There's sometimes even taboo, and depending what circles you're in, it's either there's high awareness and it's talked about.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not. It's covered up and it's under. Tell me a little bit more if you can help our listeners understand.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're all humans. We all operate in the flesh. And, you know, when you're looking around at different nonprofits and different causes, you know, human trafficking is the darkest of the dark. And so we as human beings, we really don't want to go there. We don't want to learn. And that's natural and understandable. But the thing that really grips me is, for example, I was at a meeting a couple months ago with the state attorney's office and Homeland, and they had just kind of refigured their maps of the city over Miami-Dade County. And Coral Gables is now the hot spot, the highest percentage of where traffickers are focusing on.
Wow.
And so I think, you know, we have amazing, you know, marketing and awareness with like Sound of Freedom and everything. But I think everyone's thoughts are, okay, this is happening in a third world country, or it's only happening in, you know, extreme abject poverty. And it's not. It's the crime that is happening in plain sight.
And for those who don't know, Coral Gables, wealthy, historic yes. neighborhood in my yes. in the core of Miami,
yes.
where businesses and Georgia Howe, again, curious and just helping our listeners understand, yeah. be aware, be watching, be mm-hmm. praying. How do we even know that information? Like if I'm yeah. out, if I'm just average Joe, citizen, I'm looking, how does somebody know this?
Yeah. So, I mean, there are signs, you know, these women are, like I said, taken under force, fraud, or coercion. So they might be offered, they're vulnerable, you know, and the average age of a child that turns into a woman that gets trafficked is around 13 years of age. So you can imagine if you're a young woman, 18 and older, maybe you broke up with your boyfriend, you're having a bad month, you have low self-esteem, maybe you did come from some type of abusive situation and you're vulnerable, and here comes a handsome man or a really cool, pretty woman that's saying, hey, like, you're beautiful, like, you're wonderful, like, and giving you all of these mm-hmm. compliments and raising your self-esteem, and this grooming process that happens can happen for months, and you think, you know, oh, I'm dating this guy, he's wonderful, or I just met a new friend and we're going to the pool together down at the Gables, and then months later, bam, you know, I've heard horrendous stories where, you know, a woman thought they were dating somebody and said, okay, well, good night, have a great night, and he was like, you're not going anywhere, and that's the force moment, and took her phone, took her, you know, ID and everything, and she was forced into, you know, slavery.
And it's, so there's a kidnapping of sorts, there's yeah. an isolation, manipulation yeah, for
totally.
Sure. No, and I only highlighting some of that, so sometimes it may be truly under our nose, and you see somebody going yeah. through something that seems
right.
relationally basic.
Yes.
But if the warnings are there, if there are signs.
Yes. If they, you know, don't make eye contact with you, if you see bruises on them, if they don't have any ID, if they don't have a phone, if they keep going for permission to talk to a man or their boyfriend, like all of those, obviously we know domestic violence exists and abusive situations, but those are some signs of potential human trafficking. And yeah, we have to be on the lookout, because I think what confuses people is by that point of time, so maybe they are walking past you at Starbucks, you might be thinking as a woman, as just a believer, just run,
yeah.
you know,
correct.
Like run. But by that time and point, that trafficker has total mind control
wow.
over these victims.
This podcast is powered by Verse Creative. Verse is an award-winning full-service creative agency and production studio trusted by global brands and organizations. Verse specializes in nonprofit organizations who are serious about their mission and maximizing their resources. Find out how Verse can serve your organization today at versecreative.com.
Yeah, no, so many questions. Georgia, tell me specifically with Glory House.
Yeah.
How does Glory House come into the picture?
Yeah.
How do you guys step in
yeah.
and what are some practical things you've done?
Yeah. So Glory House, we focus on a non-residential program and our residential program. So in 2014, we opened up our Glory Home, and this is where women who in the stages of healing, if you come out of human trafficking, you're first most likely going to need to go through detox, because they keep you on, some are on drugs, and that keeps them in bondage as well. There's usually a 90-day program, and then Glory House, where our niche is that long-term restoration and healing that only Jesus can do. So we opened our home in 2014. 14 women graduated from the program. And then, of course, the hallmark of history that hit everyone in 2020 was the pandemic. Uh-huh. And we ended up, the board decided to close the home just because of rent prices and everything like that. But in this year, you know, walking into this incredible leadership opportunity that I have, God's really put on our hearts that, man, we have to get back to the heartbeat of who we are and reopen our home. So we're in process of praying and looking and getting started on that.
Oh, I love that. And love that we can be a part in talking about this. And to our listeners, we're going to link all the information below on how you can be a part, learn more, and especially if you're in Florida or you're in the Southeast here, to be a part and to support. And how did you get involved, Georgia? What's your story in Glory House? How did the paths cross?
Well, I've known about Glory House for over a decade. They've been such a pillar in the community. Obviously, I've known Betty as well. You know, I definitely have, I don't have this bright and cheery testimony in my own life. I've always had a heart for women and women who have gone through this type of egregious abuse. And so, I was actually serving in a ministry in foster care before this, and it was awesome and incredible. It's called Explore Foster Miami. They're still around. They're doing amazing things. And it kind of got broached out of nowhere, like, would you consider being the executive director? And in last year, and it was all God, you know? Wow. I can't really say, oh, I thought of it or they thought about it. But for me, it was like kind of a dream job because it doesn't feel like work.
Love it. I love it. Yeah. No, and I can tell in talking to you, hear your passion. And in this new post-pandemic you were sharing earlier.
Yes.
Talk to us a little bit about the challenges of whether it's real estate, whether it's just housing and resourcing the programs. Because it's not a short, there's a 90-day, but it's a long-term.
Up to 2 years.
Yeah. So it's a long-term program that, you know, the attention's needed, the care, the physical, the, you know, to sustain, to break them. Mm-hmm. Tell us more, break that down and what that looks like.
Definitely. So one of the things that I admire so much about how we operate is this idea of, like I said at the beginning, of one heart at a time. So in terms of challenges, of course, there's capacity issues. We want to serve as many women as we can. And in our non-resident program, we serve on average 50 to 60 women per month.
Wow.
Which is a good chunk. But in terms of our actual Redeemed by Love healing program, right? These women are going through discipleship, spiritual healing, emotional healing from the trauma. And of course, we're offering full wraparound, every wraparound service you can think of to help them. But that's all great. But I think the thing that just drew me into Glory House and still does every single day, and why I have so much passion for this job, is we're interested in making an eternal impact in the lives of these women. So going from beauty for ashes, you know, God taking us and doing this new thing in their life and changing hearts that only He can do. And so we have women who have come into our program, and obviously they have no self-esteem, trust issues, going through significant trauma. And really, we can't take the glory to watch God really do surgery on their hearts over time. And now, you know, they're happy and living life and a nurse now. That's one of the testimonies, as a nurse now, and really, like, you know, taking what should have devastated their life and saying, you know what, this is a new beginning for me. That's, I think, the heartbeat of who we are.
I love that. It's in the name, right, Georgia? Because that's where God gets all the glory.
Yeah.
And that eternal impact, there are the physical, the immediate needs, the breaking from that.
Yeah. But
the legacy they're leaving now, right? Mm. You're talking about, you know, now the confidence, their identity in Christ.
Yes.
Now you're shifting them into, whether it's family starting out of this and the impact to a city. Oh, I love that. I love hearing that. How do the women you're rescuing hear about you, or do you seek them? Yeah. What's that? However God uses this, you know, yeah. I'm praying that this gets heard.
Amen.
By thousands, and that it gets in the ears and the eyes of, how do people hear about you? How do the women who need you hear about you?
Yeah, so we definitely get, you know, referrals locally, nationally, and that happens, and that's wonderful. We do also street outreach, so we do go in the streets and, you know, our incredible team is able to spot, you know, certain areas that are high trafficking areas, and we go and minister to them and just say, hey, if you ever choose bravely to get out of this, which for them it's life or death, you know, they're being threatened every day. I'll kill you, your family, your, you know, your fellow friends right here. And so for them it's life or death. And we go out through street outreach, and we also have women call us who are actively being trafficked and said, you know, saw us on a website and said, can you help us? I mean, that just happened last week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So can somebody volunteer with Glory House?
Yes. So the difference in volunteering, there's different options. So if you're a church, absolutely. There are service projects you can do. Obviously, the nature of what we do, we have to be confidential and all of that. But there's definitely, you know, the church is the answer to this crisis. Amen. For sure. And so there's lots of opportunity for churches to serve in various ways. If you're an individual, there's an opportunity to be like a sister, a buddy, you know, somebody who's kind of a mentor, a woman who, you know, feels called to do that. It's very, the cool thing about our mentorship program is that before you actually get connected to a woman, you yourself have to go through healing. Wow. Because there's going to be traumas that we've all been through stuff, right? And we're going to kind of rub against each other. So we actually, our volunteers get freedom. You know, when they're serving. So there's mentorship opportunities and a lot of other ways that you can help. If you're a business, you can be a corporate sponsor. We can do awareness events. So if you're a school, like, there's so many ways to get involved.
I love it.
Yeah.
You're listening to Georgia in gloryhouseofmiami.org is the website. We'll put all the links in the notes and some events. There's some things coming up. There's some goals for 2024 and some events I've seen and have heard about.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit more about some of those other ways that folks can get involved.
So perfect. So thank you. On May 3rd, we're having kind of our biggest event of the year. It's called our Fashion for Freedom. We're having a really, really cool fashion show, casting vision for 2024. If you want to purchase, you know, a ticket and come see us, it's gloryhouseofmiami.org. And then there are opportunities, you know, if you might be that person that it's just like, man, I don't think I have the heart to really be a mentor right now or, you know, serve in that way. But honestly, you know, if you wanted to join our tribe, which is our monthly giving program, $5 a month, a coffee would make an impact with these women. You know,
so that's great. See, because sometimes we think it's unless I have my wealth or my estate to assign to this organization, I can't. But you're saying that. Starting just at five, it can help somebody be rescued.
So
that's amazing. And we can find all the links on the website.
Yes.
They can hear. Okay. Purchase the tickets to the event as well.
Purchase tickets amazing. There as well.
Oh, I love hearing that. I love it. So tell me about the fashion show. Can people volunteer to be models? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I think we have the models picked out.
Good.
But if you're really feeling like, you know, I have to be a model, reach out to us. You know, we never know. We're open. We're flexible. Yeah,
I'm glad our co-host is on here today because he, you know, he always tries to insert himself into these events and we tell him, relax.
We have male models too.
No, Colin's got a face made for podcast and for radio. And I think he's a hand model. I'm kidding. I'm just love teasing him, missing him today in the studio here. But but you heard from him in the beginning and end. But Georgia, thanks again. Tell us a little bit more just before we wrap up. With something like this, it's high danger, high risk, sometimes underground, right? So you feel like you're a special lops team because it's an underground.
So
you're dealing, those who are trafficking are extremely dangerous, evil, right?
Yes.
What gives you the strength? And I think we know the answer to that. And how can somebody be praying specifically and supporting you remotely?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think... you know, in Isaiah 61, God calls us as believers to, you know, raise the dead, set the captives free. And so I think everyone who serves and is a part of the team at Glory House knows that they are literally going into the darkness, into the night, and trusting that God's with them and for them, and that ultimately the battle is His. I know for me, of course, it can, you know, like it can get heavy and dark and, you know, terrible, the things we hear that are happening. But I believe that, you know, this is the Lord's ministry, and that His eyes are upon us. And so it's just a daily surrender and trust. So prayer we need every day. If you could pray, that's the greatest thing you could do for us, honestly. Pray for us, pray for the women we serve, and just pray for God to open up more doors of opportunity for us.
I love that. I love that. I love your passion for the org, and fairly new to the role.
Yes.
Taking Betty. You're not even on the website, I don't
think. I know. That's okay, one of the many things I have to do.
Okay, cool.
I haven't been sleeping a lot.
Yeah. Well, we can help if you need help.
Yes.
We'll get you.
Thank you.
Tell me this, and we'll come back here. From a leadership perspective, mm-hmm. a lot of our listeners are in the nonprofit space. They're C-suite leaders, or they're in ministry. They're executive leaders, pastors, leading large churches, startup churches, you know, church plants. What are some challenges that maybe you have and you're stepping into this role that they're not even aware it's different, or that's, you know what, very similar to what you're dealing with? Give us a little glimpse into your leadership role.
That's a great question. I would say, you know, expect it to be challenging, you know, and expect it to be amazingly wonderful at the same time. But I think the most important thing that I have to remember every day is that this sounds so Christianese, but I cannot do this without God. I have to be fully dependent and abide in Him. In no way do I think I have the answer to, you know, rescuing these women, but I believe that if I can depend on Him and lean on Him every single day, hour by hour, a lot of times, that in the end, we'll be okay.
I love it. I love that. So foundational, but such a great reminder, right? And sometimes
we overcomplicate things as leaders.
Yeah, and I think it shouldn't ever be cliche. It should be the standard and the norm and our lead and to lead.
Yeah, and I would say if somebody's a new leader jumping into a new organization, just jump in. Like, don't shrink back. Jump in, lean in strong, and God's with you.
I know it's Miami, it's Florida. Talk to us. Let's dream big here. Let's talk the next 10 years, next 20, Glory House, period, you know, U.S. Mm. Talk about some long-term goals and dreams.
Oh, gosh. Well, this gives me chills every time I say this, but I definitely, you know, we don't want just one home to serve these women. We want multiple safe houses. We have dreamed about one day serving children who are being trafficked. Mm. You know, we have dreamed about us, you know, not just being in the United States, you know, and going abroad. And so all of those will take God's hand, obviously, but, you know, we have a heart to serve people who, and women, children, you know, even men who do get trafficked that might be sitting right now in a home against their will or in an apartment building or wherever they are right now and saying, God, where are you? Can you help me? And, you know, we want to be the organization that says, yes, we can help you and be a part of your redemptive story.
Oh, I love that. Georgia, thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. No, it's our pleasure. We love hearing, like I said, the reputation and the trust that, you know, Glory House has in your leadership. We pray and we speak blessing over you guys.
Thank you
and
so
that
much.
Those listening, be a part. You know, this is a millions over millions of problems, and we need everybody. And I'm talking in people that are getting either trafficked, but then the dollars it takes to help them get out of traffic. So be a part, jump in, and we'll put all the links here for you to help them continue to rescue one heart at a time. So thank you so much, Archer.
Thank you
appreciate
so much.
It.
Thanks again for listening to the Nonprofit Renaissance.
We hope it ignites a renaissance in you and helps you go further and grow faster. Be sure to share, rate, and subscribe. And if you'd like to recommend or be a guest on our show, send us an email at podcast@versecreative.com. We'll be right back.